these things external to yourselves, that you create within yourselves according to your thought feeling. And if you can be aware of your thought feeling reaction, then you will be aware of what you are thinking and how you are feeling and what you are doing. It is this awareness of your thought feeling reaction that enables you to live in the present, to dissolve in the present always those conditions which are conditioning you all the time. If then you are creating in the present, you will see that if your reactions are through fear, through emotion of any kind whatsoever, you will understand them. It is so difficult for people to try and analyze their thoughts, the things that have happened long, long ago. And it is supposed that you shall clear your mind by analyzing these things that happened to you long ago. But this is a cumbersome method, and a method that does not lead to the cleansing of the mind and clearing the consciousness. It only hinders it. You must discern in the present. And when you are discerning your thought, feeling, reactions in the present, those thoughts, images, and ideas and experiences of the past will rise up from the deeper layers of consciousness, and you will be able to deal with them as you are aware in the present. Because all these things that have in the past affected you are associated with your life today, with your actual living today. These things that have happened in the past are associated with you now, and they rise through the lines of association to be dealt with now, as long as you are aware of your thought, feeling, reaction. If you are caught up in these thought, feeling, reactions, then you are conditioning yourself while you are ignorant of the fact. And it is these thoughts that move out from your consciousness, unaware that these thoughts are moving out through your emotional state. These thoughts become part of yourself. Thoughts that arise unknown to you through your emotional state of fear and or hate. These thoughts you would not consider at any time in your own consciousness, because you would say, I could never have thought such a thing at all. Not that is not me. This mechanism of the mind, which we'll deal with this evening, showing what we call the subconscious. But the subconscious and the conscious are one mind. But we deal with the names of it because you are familiar. Now the inner mind is the mind that receives those impressions. Whether you are aware of these impressions or not, whether you are aware of the thoughts that you are creating in your own consciousness while you're in a state of emotion, these enter into this inner mind and become affected there and remain until such time as they rise to the surface. They will rise to the surface sometime, and they will try to have an understanding, an escape of some kind. Therefore, they will rise up to your consciousness, and you will feel, no, I can't think a thought like that. I never did. Therefore, you press it down again into the inner mind and you say, hide yourself. I don't want to see you. Now, because you do that and you try to hide and escape from your thoughts that you created yourself while in a state of emotion, unknowingly, you suppress them. But here is a vortex of energy that is part and parcel of your consciousness, what we call one, the layer of consciousness underneath. And this energy tries to escape in some way or another, and you then suppress it again and again. And because you have not allowed it to rise to the surface, and you have dealt with it clearly, without identifying yourself with it, without judgment, and without condemning, then it will just pass away without leaving any trace. It will be like a flock of birds that cross the windless sky, that come into view, you see them and they pass. That's exactly what happens when you discern in the present. You will see then clearly that you are a very involved mechanism. And we will deal with this mechanism this evening. First of all, I want you to see clearly this, that your only safety is to become aware now, in the present. Not try and analyze the things of the past, because your present situations are similar to the situations of the past. They are associated in your mind. And these things that you have tried to hide and forget will rise to the surface. And as they rise to the surface consciousness, you'll be able to deal with them, you'll be able to read them and understand them. And you will no longer be bothered with them. They will pass away. You will be free. It is the freedom you require. And there is only one way of obtaining that freedom. No matter how many people will give you ideas about the truth is not an idea. And I have told you so often that what you have made up in your mind about truth is not truth. But if you discern what you have made up in your mind about truth, you will find you'll be able to reach that which is beyond your mind, which is real. The truth is not made up. The truth is, it doesn't have to be made up. Your ideas about truth is in your mind, which you think it is. Therefore, all you have of truth is an idea, and not the truth at all. But if, I say, you discern your thought actions and thought feelings, you'll be able to see what you are making up in your mind, and you'll not be afraid of your own creations that you have in the past, with the result that you have become a nervous wreck. If you then know clearly what I am saying, it is not an escape that you need, but an understanding of your own thought, feeling, reaction. We live and move and have our being in that substance of the universe we call universal mind. And out of this substance, God created us together with the means to create through the same mode of action by which He created us. When we are not aware, we create through our reaction. And the most disastrous effects are those created through fear. Fear is an emotion of great strength, and the thought held within its orbit produces its kind according to the intensity of the emotion. That is the thought that is held within the emotion. It is hidden. And if you discern, of course, clearly, you will know those thoughts. They are no longer hidden, but you discern them now. You don't have to rummage away in your subconscious mind to find the things that are troubling you. You know them now. And it's by knowing them now in the present that you are released continuously from moment to moment. Then you have that renewal of that which is reality itself. So it is necessary to have a working knowledge of the mechanism through which our thoughts and feelings move, producing within ourselves pleasant or unpleasant results, for we create both within ourselves. We have already learned that the body is the sounding board of our thoughts and emotions. So we create the pleasant and the unpleasant things within ourselves. It's how you react to conditions. Yes, you may think it is true. The pleasant and the unpleasant things you create within yourself. You create fear and faith within yourself. You create success and failure within yourself. Health and ill health is just the same. These belong to the world of opposites. And when you try to escape from the negative, you try to put a positive in its place. That's how you think you can escape. But you can't. You cannot escape at all because the negative is always there. And you're trying to plaster it over with something else. Well, you can't do it because the negative is always there waiting to rise at any moment. And it will rise and take you by the throat. Before you know where you are, you're caught up in the negative again. Then you struggle and you struggle and you put a positive in its place and you keep on struggling. Isn't that stupid? I should think it is stupid. What should you do? Understand the negative and how it arises, and it will leave you. It will disappear. Therefore, you will have no opposite. You will have a knowing and understanding of reality, that which is, that has no opposite. Opposites are created in the mind. That's what you make up in. My teaching, I assure you, is different to all the teachings you've had before, because the other teachings are immature because they do not come from the Master. They are immature because the people do not know the truth themselves. They're always trying to give you an idea of the truth. And you think you have the truth when you get an idea from a book. And you think it's wonderful. But I tell you, you're being caught up in ideas again. Read if you like, but be careful not to allow it into your mind. If it pleases you, think twice before you accept it. The human body is traversed by a twofold nervous system as a means through which our thoughts and emotions are manifested upon the body and in our circumstances. The effect of our thought feeling also affects others as well, for we surround ourselves with the general tone of our thought feeling. And this can be felt by others. Our thought feeling is transferred to the body through our nervous system and tends to produce the replica of the dominating thought which we hold. That is why those who are bound by hate do not attract, while those who are free and natural do attract. A hateful person, you can smell it. Absolutely a mile away. And it is the same. The dominating thought, the dominating characteristic of the individual who does not discern his thought feelings reaction, he begins to create an influence upon himself that other people dislike. You love people who love. You cannot help it. It's impossible for you to do otherwise. But love is something you do not know. You do not create love. Love belongs to the divine nature itself. Love is the expression of the infinite divine heart. Hate is the expression of man's stupidity, his ignorance. And when you discern all hate, anger, jealousy, how it is made up, and how you react to conditions and create it within yourselves, then you begin to understand yourselves, and that's virtue. Virtue is not as it is an idea of trying to concentrate on some saint or some kind of saint, and you think by concentrating the saint that you will obtain the virtue of that saint. As a matter of fact, the only way you could obtain virtue is to understand yourself. And when you understand yourself, you will find that is virtue. Virtue comes from the realization of what you are, yourself, and not what you want to be, while you do not know what you are. So if you do not know you are greedy, if you do not know you are selfish, if you do not know you are jealous, if you do not know you have all these negative so-called things in you, and then you try to concentrate on some sin to make yourself virtuous, then you're a fool. And that's the whole story about it. It's impossible for you to obtain virtue in that way. But when you discern all your own qualities, so-called qualities, which I call these personal qualities that most people have, hate, jealousy, anger, and so forth, when you discern these things, they will drop away from you. And then, after you have discerned all these things, you'll know yourself, and self-knowledge is the beginning of virtue. The nervous system is dual in nature. One system is known as the sympathetic nervous system, and is a channel for all the activities of nature herself. These activities are not consciously directed by the mind of man, nor are they directed through our will, but manifest according to the intelligence that built the body. Nevertheless, this system is thrown out of gear by our fear thoughts, etc. Call it thought feeling, if you like, or more comprehensive understanding. This system is naturally called involuntary, which directs the process of digestion, circulation, building and repairing of the body tissue, and the excretory system through which we get rid of the waste matter. It also controls the heart, lungs, liver, spleen, kidneys, bowels, glands, etc. In fact, it has a multitude of different activities in the performance of the control and direction of body function. It is only when we realize what it does do we begin to respect it, thereby leaving it to carry on its work unhindered. So nature has created a mechanism for its own expression. It's an intelligence that's still working and continues to work through the whole organism. This intelligence is God in action. When you have seen me, you have seen the Father, Jesus said, and that is a very great truth, because no one could create you or me except God himself. And there's only one life, and God being the only living being there is, my living is proof of his living in me. And as the Master said, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, it's a truth for you and me as well, because it could not be otherwise, God being infinite in nature. The cerebrospinal system is that system which is under the control of the conscious will. It enables the body to move from place to place. Through it we receive impressions through the senses. We build these impressions into mind pictures, which we believe to be true according to our experiences and memories. This center is in the frontal brain, connected with the center of individuality, where man feels himself to be a separate individual. There is no time or space to go into details of the functions of the cerebrospinal system at present. What I am aiming at is to show you how your thoughts and emotions are transferred to your body and beyond your body. I have given you already a short resume of conscious and unconscious activities, and although I may be repeating something of what I have said before, it is so important that it warrants this repetition. The sympathetic nervous system has its center in that ganglion mass at the back of the stomach, known as the solar plexus, situated right at the back, connected with the spine, but it's inside at the back of the stomach. It's a brain that's made up of the same tissue as your brain here is, exactly the same. Now the nervous system is the elongation of the brain. And the nerve tissue along the whole trunk of the nerve is made up of an exact same material as your brain is made up of. And your brain being the master root of the nervous system, its branches have its ramifications right through the whole of the organism, just as a tree has its roots in the ground. Therefore, the tree trunk and its branches are made of the same material, so is the same happens to be your nervous system as well. But you will notice that your head is up, in that the root is in the top and not in the ground, for the simple reason that we are living in ether, in the ethereal world we exist. And it is the magnetism that passes down from above. It enters in through the top of the head, which gives us the life forces that passes down the whole of the body, through the brain, through the nervous system, right into the ground. Back from the ground again into the body and back out into the atmosphere once more. There is a continual flow all the time of this life force in out through your body and passes out through your skin and out into the atmosphere, known as the invisible evaporation. If your skin was totally prevented from giving out this invisible evaporation, you could not live. If you wringed your skin from top to bottom or burnt completely, then there's a danger of you living upon this earth. You'd probably leave it. Just as you wring back a tree, so the tree dies, so would you also, if you were wringed back in the same way. In the olden times, that was some of the hideous things that they used to do. They used to make a band and tear the skin off so that the person would die in agony. But it didn't last very long, that was one thing, sure. But the main thing is this, the body is an instrument, and your consciousness is the ruling factor, not only on this plane here, but in all planes right through into the spiritual, because consciousness is God's instrument of creation. And he has granted the same life in us as he has in himself. And through the same mode of action, and by the same means he created us, so by this means we create also, because we are made in his image and likeness. We can say that the cerebrospinal system is the organ of the conscious mind and the sympathetic system is the organ of the subconscious. These two are joined through the lower brain called the cerebellum, which is at the back, which is responsive to our thoughts and emotions, and is also responsive to body tensions, because when the body talks back, it talks to the cerebellum. The cerebellum feels what is taking place in the body and carries the information back to the cerebrum, so that the cerebrum becomes conscious of the fact that is taking place. Now, if then you react in such a way as to feel a certain thing that's happening in your body, you intensify it by your struggle. And as you struggle and struggle, then the struggle causes the misery you have and you feel in the body. If you do not struggle and you know, consciousness becomes aware of what it is and also conscious of its own power, being the consciousness of God, the only creative faculty you will ever have, and creates out of the uncreated. You will know then immediately you have this power of disposing of these things without any struggle. It is the struggle you put out that causes the misery. Do I struggle with life? Do I struggle with age? I should think not. If I struggle with age, I'd be dead long ago. You don't struggle with any of these things. The body will eventually dissolve away. But the fact that you are conscious of life tends to keep the body in health and strong even for many years more than it would in the ordinary way. Consciousness is life. Life is consciousness. Consciousness uses both the conscious and the subconscious as a vehicle of expression. When we are conscious of anything that makes us afraid, our heart beats faster. We breathe faster. We create the stimulation in the nervous system to resist what we fear. Thoughts are created unconsciously, which become a powerful factor in our emotional life. If there was no link between the two systems, there would be no physical reaction. Further, there is a portion of the brain that is called the corpus callosum, which anatomists have not yet found its real function, for the simple reason that it is the inspirational center situated at the top of the head. It is the center of our sixth sense to which inspiration comes. Otherwise, knowledge beyond obtained by the five senses. You see through reading, you read through sight, you hear through sound, you feel through touch. And you have these senses. Now these senses give you vibrations. Vibrations only you receive. You receive in the sound of the vibrations of my voice. They pass to your ear. Those vibrations pass back into your brain. Through the various centers to your brain and the pass to the centers where these centers can trace these words and picture them forth as what I am saying. What you see is a light vibration. That light vibration strikes the retina of your eye, passes through the nerve also, just carrying those vibrations to the optic center, the optic thalamus to the optic center, then to the various centers of recognition, bringing in the cells of memory and experience, and you have a picture of what you see. Now, don't you see, all is this. Everything is made up in yourself. It's like two people walking down the street. One is blind, he doesn't see, and the other man sees. And going round the corner, the tiger coming bounding round the street. The man who sees sticks to his heels, and the man who doesn't see doesn't move at all. He doesn't see it, he's not affected by it. But what happened by the other fellow, he runs his life. One has seen the vibration, created the picture of what he sees, then he passes. The other fellow doesn't see it at all, which proves the fact that he's got to make the picture up in himself. And all your fears and everything are built up within yourself. All your pictures are built up in yourself. Your good and your evil is built up within yourself. Your fear and your faith. But the happier you don't know. You're just walking around, wondering what you see and what you feel and what you hear. If you become wide awake, you will know. You will understand. Further, there's a portion of brain that is called the corpus callosum. It is the center of our sixth sense to which inspiration comes. Otherwise, knowledge beyond obtained by the five senses. The conscious mind lays hold of these vibrations and transfers them into thought action, similar to those vibrations received through the senses, yet vastly superior in nature. The conscious and the subconscious require an interaction so the orders can be carried out. Correspondence between the two nerve centers is necessary, And this is performed by the motor and sensory nerves which connect all the way down the spine. Also the vagus nerve which comes direct from the brain passing down each side of the neck. From the brain, sympathetic nerve flexes and is joined together, making the individual one conscious being, where the cerebrospinal activities are joined with the sympathetic nervous system, making you a single unit. This nerve has ramifications throughout the thoracic area, culminating all over the abdomen, where its fibers connect with the ganglionic mass of sympathetic nervous tissue, uniting the two systems at once. So we find that our conscious thought feeling is passed on to the sympathetic nervous system to influence it. Thus our nervous system is the organ through which the body becomes the sounding board for our thoughts and emotions, because it's the elongation of the brain. The inspirational center, the corpus callosum, is developed through the understanding of the self and what is made up in the self by the self, so that the higher vibrations of the spiritual world are perceived. Their effect on our nature, when these unformed vibrations are formed into a more definite shape, is uplifting. Thus, they can be of inestimable value to ourselves and mankind in general. Although nature has created the system through which she can work unhindered, man can interrupt this work through his fears, hates, etc. Yet nature has provided this wonderful center, corpus callosum, as a means of inspiration. When the consciousness lays hold upon the vibrations that come through the sixth sense, similar currents are induced in the involuntary nervous system, giving it encouragement to function with greater efficiency, thereby prolonging life on earth with greater happiness and peace in mind and body. Here is an instrument that God has created, that men can, by his own volition, find the way beyond the physical body, and he finds it through the way that God and that great inspirational power reaches through the physical body. You have various centers in the body, have you not? When you go to sleep at night, you probably leave your body. But you leave your body through a center on your spleen, on the left-hand side here. You lie probably just asleep, just as your body sleeps. You're not awakened because you haven't yet awakened. But some of you are, I think, awakened, so you leave your body and you go through the astral world and you go to many places. You go to help people, you do many things. But when you pass out of the physical body, eventually, never to return to it, you pass to the top of the head. And it is through the top of the head you escape the physical body, turning with it to the ethereal body, which forms again into the same shape as the physical body because it interpenetrates the physical body and is the exact form. And that interpenetration in the physical body has the counterpart, an ethereal counterpart, which lives in the ethereal world, and you will find that there is a second death. But the second death, which comes quite easily to the individual who knows. The first death comes to me and to those who know, just as Jesus knew the first death. He did not die. The first death and the second death are of a similar nature. I could tell you all about stories that I have passed out through the physical body. When I was laid out in the no man's land, 4 days, carried in with the dead, on the edge of the ground, being to be buried. I didn't know that I was 4 days lying in this lorry with other corpses waiting to be put in the ground. But I just came to in the moment when I had been putting into the ground. But during that time, I was not dead, I was alive. I was more interested in what I had seen before, around me and beyond. And I then became conscious of a wound, it gives me pain. And that consciousness of wound gives me pain because people grow. And then I heard the word saying, there's a live one here somewhere. So when I heard that, I came to my senses and I find out that I had to make quick business if I wanted to live in this lane. And here I am standing today. But that experience gives me more on all the books and whatever I could tell you about it. Through the senses we create opposites. Through inspiration we dispense with them. Every mental action causes muscular action in the brain and the twofold nervous system which controls every cell in the body. Now that we are convinced we can reach the subjective system and know that it is controlled by the intelligence that created it, we are aware without creating opposites that the divine life is active in and through it, for there can be no division between God and man. Thus all tension can be taken off the mind and body, and nature can do her work unhindered. That is when struggle ceases. Therefore, when the struggling ceases, the mischief ceases. Life organized the tissue structure from the elements around us and from the substance of mind in which we live and move and have our being. Life which created the body for its own self-expression, and I am that life, my consciousness is in life, and life is in my consciousness. In other words, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. I and the Father are one. And it cannot be otherwise. It could not be otherwise. Otherwise, God could not be infinite. He could not be infinite at all. He and I were not one. Because I would be outside it, and there would be something outside the infinite, therefore he could not be infinite. And if my life was different to his life, he couldn't be infinite either, because I'd be a life apart from him, and therefore he could not be infinite. But we must go beyond divine reason, but yet we must go beyond it, into that which is beyond mind. And how do you get beyond mind? By knowing what you make up in your mind. And then you will find there is something you can't. You know everything you make up in your mind, and you know it yourself that made it up. But you know that this self remains complete in itself. And it can't be made up in your mind because you don't know what it is. You don't know what your consciousness is. That is reality. You don't know what it is. You know only that. And when you open yourself to it, the totality of this great mighty power expresses itself through you, because it's its wholeness. You're not a bit of life or a bit of truth. People say you're a flame, you're a light. Stupid nonsense. These are ideas and images you try to create in your mind. That's externalizing everything, making everything relative and making truth relative. Truth is not relative, it's not a thing you can see external to yourself, and what you see is not truth. And the sooner you realize that, the better. And if you're caught up in those sort of things, I advise you to leave them immediately, because they're of no value to you, but destructive, and prevent the reality, the real truth, from manifesting. When we see ourselves separate, we create of God, we make up in our mind a God that is separate from us, a God outside ourselves. We receive not because we ask amiss. God is spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and reality. The kingdom of heaven is within you. A God that is made up in your mind is but an image of your own making. But God is not an image. He is real now, and we are one with him now. Most of us are trying to become something, God knows what. Yet only with the death of becoming is there being. being now. God doesn't have to become something. If I and the Father are one, which I must be, why do I have to become something else? Am I not now? In moments of great creativeness, in moments of great beauty, there is utter tranquility, undisturbed, unmoved silence and peace. In these moments, there is complete absence of the self, with all its conflict. In this state of self-denial is the highest form of thinking, feeling, that is essential for creative being. These moments are rare with most of us, the moment when the thinker and his thoughts are transcended. These moments happen unexpectedly, but the self soon returns. Having once experienced this living stillness, thought feeling clings to its memory, thus preventing further experience of reality. The moment, the split second, that the reality that is past, that becomes a memory. It passed. Past is in the mind, the future is in the mind, the ever-present is always renewing self in you and me. If we can then catch that renewal every second, and not try and make it a memory, but the experience then becomes a memory, and you try to recapture that memory, do you think that you can ever get another moment, split second of reality, while you're trying to remember that which is past? Reality is now. It is not something that you've got to get in the past or the future. You're all living in the future or the past, somewhere or another. And yet you miss the great, almighty, ever-present reality. The cultivation of memory is effort directed along wrong channels, resulting in the strengthening of the self with its opposite, conflict and pain. But if we are completely and deeply aware of our problem and conflict, and try to understand them instead of trying to escape from them, then the cultivation of this self-knowledge will bring about an alert, passive state which induces tranquility. Then in this living silence, this living, when all the noise of conflict and opposites have died, there is reality. Only in utter simplicity, when all craving has ceased, is the bliss of eternal reality. And craving for spiritual things and craving for material things are just the same. It's craving. Craving goes away from reality, which is. Craving goes away from the center of complete supply. Craving from the physical and craving from the spiritual takes you away from that which is ever present now. That which you want now. That which you seek, you lose because of the craving you want to become. If I can only bring it into your mind, that becoming is going away from reality. Being is reality. In this tranquil state, all tension is released from mind and body. When this happens, nature expresses itself. This is being. The soul is the ethereal vehicle of the deathless, immortal, creative spirit. Spirit is the immortal part of the human constitution. It never knows death nor sickness, neither does it exist in opposite. It is the only consciousness you will ever have. Be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, means when the divine consciousness is freed from the opposites and conflict of the self, then the perfect shall reveal itself. It is hidden by the conflict you have within the self. God is the head of the universe. He is right here to stay. That he's always been. He's never been away. It was in man's own mind where separation began. Father and I are one has always been the plan. In unity there is strength. Separation is broken reeds. Man alone is a failure. With God, he has all he needs. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, says he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Proverbs 23:7. That is where you see the self. And when you see the self here, as you think in your heart, and when you say, eat and drink, you find yourself separate and distinct. But his heart is not with thee. All the self is separation. And when you discern the self and all its ways of separation, then separation will pass away. Because it only exists in the self. It does not exist in reality. Reality is one whole. Benediction. O great eternal spirit, thou hast created my soul and body in which thou livest. Hence I can say, this is thy holy temple in which I live with thee. I am thyself, I know I am. For in my soul and body thy nature is revealed. Every sound that I make, let it be the vibration of thy voice. Every thought that I think, let it be saturated with the consciousness of thy presence. Let every feeling I have glow with thy love. Let every act of mine be guided with thy wish. Then my life will be the ornament of thy creation. O Divine Mother,